This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Yeah, I've got the first question here. Stephen Schaefer, Boston Herald.
Nice. How are you?
Good.
You obviously fought someone for that microphone.
Yes.
There's like a body in the back.
Yeah. This movie has the two of you engaged, ready to get married. Both of you are single in real life. Have you ever been engaged? What do you think about the institution of marriage? And
just jumping right in here.
Right. Yeah. I usually save these answers for my Barbara Walters special, but she hasn't called. So, I have never been engaged, despite popular belief. I don't know, people printing that I have. Never been engaged. As far as what I think of marriage, I think it's great. I mean, I think I'd like to be married someday, but I'll start with love. Why don't we try falling in love first, and then I'll see what happens after that. As far as marriage, I think the one thing about this movie that was really interesting is, finding out how much is really involved in that. And I think that, I know I'm guilty of it, I think a lot of people are guilty of sort of getting starry-eyed with love, and you sort of look over all the bad things and keep going, and in that same vein, you don't really prepare for how much work marriage really is. Because when I look at my parents, I'm like, this is easy. God, staying together for 35 years, how hard is that? And they're like, very hard. You should know the ins and outs. So it was nice to see a little bit of background and things like that. Mandy?
Wow, that was such a thorough answer. No, I've never been engaged. I definitely believe in the institution of marriage, but I'm 23, so it's not something that's on the forefront of my mind right now.
And for both of you also, you both started your careers, you as a singer, Mandy.
I also was a singer, yeah.
You were a writer.
And
you're both finding all the successes, actors primarily. How do you feel about, but you just directed a movie, you've got a new album coming out. How do you feel about where acting goes with your career, basically, versus what you sort of originally intended to do with your career?
Well, for me, I feel like they go hand in hand, and I feel lucky to kind of do a little bit of both, and that people have been accepting of me in both roles. I don't ever sort of feel overwhelmed by it. I mean, I feel like it's just like anybody else that has a lot on their plate. It's about prioritizing, and I have fun. I mean, I feel like they're such different creative entities, and being on stage and getting to perform in front of an audience, and that rush of adrenaline and that connection with an audience is very, very different from, you know, making a film and the teamwork aspect of everything. So I feel lucky and fulfilled differently by doing a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think it's about, you know, doing things that you're excited about. So I don't think I ever planned on being an actor. I definitely didn't plan on being a writer either. I planned on being an English teacher, which I don't know where that is. But I think that, you know, it's really fun to have an outlet. I mean, for me, it's really just an outlet. You know, writing and putting together this movie was a passion project for sure, but really nothing more than that, because I'm not trying to be the triple threat guy. I'm still working on this one threat. Acting, but it's easy to be intimidated by someone who does music to me, because, you know, working with Mandy and having her sort of developing the album as we went was incredible to watch. I was very envious, because doing that and also doing music that's very different than what you did before is, I think, I wish I could do something as cool as that. So we'll see if it happens in the movie, but I doubt it.
You were working on this album?
I was writing definitely while we were doing
it. I was playing guitar.
And, we were collaborating.
I was on the keys sometimes, but the trailer doesn't fit a whole piano.
Yeah.
What do you think is the secret to a good relationship?
Oh, God.
That's the key. Perfect. I don't know. I'd say the key to a good relationship is probably communication, which I think at the end of the day our characters didn't have for a really long time in the movie. Bringing it full circle. I think that, thank you. I don't know, I always think about the simplest things in a relationship that have frustrated me, and it always sort of comes down to communication, which is, I mean, even something as simple as the worst possible thing that can happen is, where do you want to go to dinner? Well, where do you want to go to dinner? I mean, that might be the worst thing in the world, and so being honest and not the worst thing in the world. Don't write it down.
They're typing.
I know. They're like, worst thing in the world. John is completely out of it.
Madly typing in the back.
Good luck, ladies. He's a freak.
Yeah, I think communication is key, too. You're answering all the questions. Thank you. I'll just sit back here.
Mandy, was there anything else besides communication?
That's important. Hygiene. No, I don't know. Yeah, communication is key.
You just became the freak. You took away from me.
I took over that role.
Yeah.
Was there anything from your personal experience that you brought to this role?
I'm a little slightly controlling. I'm an Aries, and I like things to have in order. And I get a little slightly stressed and flustered if things go awry, but I think Sadie kind of skipped a couple steps in terms of like calling off the marriage. Like, I feel like there were a couple things that could have maybe been worked out before.
Slight negotiation would
be
nice.
Exactly, calling it quits. But I related to like the ambitious sort of controlling streak she had in her.
And Jen?
What did I relate to? Amanda's character? what did I relate to in my character? I think, I don't know. I think he's a pretty laid-back guy who I definitely would have had the idea to, like, go to the Caribbean and get married. And so I would have been taken aback probably if someone was saying, I want to get married here and with this sort of regimented thing. It wouldn't have derailed me, but it would have been definitely a surprise. And I think I'm spontaneous and sort of not as controlling, sort of willing for things to go whatever way they go. So we were perfect for each other.
Yeah. Well, Robin is, he's pretty dynamic. I mean, I had a lot of fun, but I also felt like there was no onus on me to be funny. And I think I enjoyed witnessing John and Robin play off each other really well. Like, even just like, you know, joking around in between takes and stuff. I just got to sort of stand back with the crew and be entertained and watch the show in front of me. And I think I found it really difficult, though, to keep a straight face when we were actually working and I wasn't supposed to be laughing. I was always the first one to break. Like, I'll admit it. I couldn't keep a straight face.
Really? I don't know if that's...
No, true. I did.
Great. I'll let you have that. It's fine.
I was unprofessional.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, working with Robin Williams, what can you say? He's the best of the best. And, you know, what I really liked watching was not only is he incredibly funny and probably the funniest person on earth, which is a tough award to give out, but to see what it really takes to be, you know, a huge star is way beyond a good part or being extremely funny. It goes into, you know, being an incredibly classy person and bringing such an enthusiasm to the set where it makes everyone around you do the best they can, because if he's there committing and not complaining, there is nothing you can say about it. And, you know, you have to do as good a work. And so that was really fun to see. And I'll, you know, definitely learned a lot from him.
Mandy, two questions over here.
Sure.
First, can you talk a little bit about the comparison or contrasting of doing music and acting? Is it sort of the same muscles or is it completely different? And secondly, as a little girl, did you have that sort of fantasy worked out in your head of what kind of wedding you would want someday?
You wanted a fake wedding.
I wanted a fake wedding in Jamaica. I think you're flexing the same muscles, you know, doing the music stuff and the film stuff. I mean, trying to convey your emotions and lyrics across to an audience, you know, when you've written a song 3 years ago and it doesn't really hit you the same anymore. There's an element of acting to that. And obviously, I mean, I guess when you're relaxing or trying to get in character, sometimes you'll listen to music. Like, they do go hand in hand, but... and in terms of the fantasy wedding thing, I can kind of cross off the island beach thing. I mean, maybe it's sunset or something, but we were shooting during like the heat of the day, and mm-hmm. It was unbelievably hot and humid and sticky and just ugh, no fun.
But it's a little girl, you didn't...
Well, the little girl, I thought, like, yes, I'd like to get married on the beach. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not one of those, like, the quintessential girl that has these sort of fantasies about that stuff.
John, you worked with some great talent. Isn't it you worked with Conan O'Brien early on?
Yeah, I was his intern. So that, I think I can attribute as one of the most surreal experiences, and there's been a lot of them, but that was one of the most surreal things, to be his intern in 1999 when I was in college, and pretty much watching his show was like my life. I mean, that was the best part of my day. And then to go back as a guest... I think I blacked out for like 35 seconds. I don't remember much from the curtain to the seat, but he reassured me that everything would be fine. And so to now have him say that he's a fan of my show, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't think I'll ever compute that.
And how do you mesh your stuff
I am equally as funny. I am as talented as Conor O'Brien. No. I don't know how you match. I mean, they're just so dynamic and specific. And to me, with Robin and Conan and Steve, too, it's like their willingness to go all the way with a joke and commit and sort of find the humor in everything and keep it real. I mean, that, I think, is what's really fun about all those guys. And even Conan, with how ridiculous he is, like, he's still that guy that you knew in high school. So the fact that his realness is what is sort of what makes him so funny, because you can totally relate to him, despite the fact that he's like a wall.
You keep up with everyone. That's why I had so much fun watching you and Robin together, because you...
I taught him improv. Is that what you're saying? We had improv classes, and I was like, no.
You know what you're doing.
No, it was fun. There was one moment in reshoots where I get hit by the baseball in the face. And it was funny because I could see him sort of looking at me like, all right, let's see what he does with this, because I think people have been hit in the face before. And I did a couple takes, and he laughed every time. And you can hear on film him laughing. I'm pretty sure they dubbed that out. But he later said, he was like, wow, that's one of the funniest things I've seen on film. And he walked away, and I had a nosebleed and passed out for 5 days, because that was like the best compliment I've ever gotten. I was like, what? You think I'm funny? So, yeah, it was really exciting. It was fun to work with him. But I'm in no way as funny as they are.
John, speaking of Conan.
Yeah.
I saw you on...
You're wearing the Red Sox hat. Thank God. Now I feel like I'm home.
I saw you on Conan, and you addressed something that's incredibly important to the city of Los Angeles, the lack of Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
So what are you willing to do to get it out here?
I'm willing to be CEO of that company. Let's do this. I'll expand. I want to buy jets that say Dunkin' Donuts, and we're just going to go all over the place. What am I willing to do? I've actually emailed the CEO, and I did. I emailed with him, and I even told him a perfect location. I said, where they shut down Tower Records on both sides of the street. Come on. Have a little drive-through and a sit-down. Talk to people across the way.
I wanted to know if they did contact you based on that.
They did contact me, and I have the bags and bags and bags of coffee to prove it.
So that's what it takes.
Yeah.
To get free Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Yep. Or you can say, I like Porsches. And they like, it's like, they send you a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a fan, did they actually say that it was coming out?
Yeah, so, I mean, basically what happened was I told them that I would love to get together with a bunch of people, and I've talked to a lot of people about it, and it's looking like now all for naught. But, like, I have been going around to people being like, hey, would you come and open Dunkin' Donuts with me? And, like, Ben Affleck and Conan O'Brien and Steve and all these people want to come open a Dunkin' Donuts in L.A. And in his email, he was like, that's great. Okay. Sounds good, I guess. I mean, I guess it's coming. I don't know. I'm trying to do it. My entrepreneur skills as far as starting a huge company is not very good so far.
Okay, I guess I got it. I wanted to know about these robo babies in this movie were kind of creepy in a lot of ways. I just wondered, are they really hard to work with? Are they heavy? Were they...
They were like 15 pounds each, right?
I think more than that. I was carrying them the whole time. So
yeah, you did. You can answer that one.
No, they were really heavy, but they smelled so bad. Oh God.
I can't even begin to describe it.
It felt like a locker room made of rubber. It was really gross. It was disgusting. Yeah, they're like sweaty, nasty. I mean, it definitely went against that old saying of like all babies are cute. No. Having James Cagney as a baby is not my ideal dream. But no, they were. It was fun to work with them because they were sort of so hideous and really hard to hold and all that. So it really made those scenes a lot easier to do, especially smashing it against the glass. Like, I was happy to do that.
Speaking of baby compatibility, how many kids do each of you want to have?
17. I'm not throwing that out.
I haven't really thought about that too much.
Two? Isn't that a good answer? Like,
yeah, two.
One on each hand.
You said two and you said four in the movie.
Not four.
I just noticed that you looked at each other when you asked me that question, and I'm wondering if...
Oh, I thought he was asking how many we want to have together.
Okay.
I'm telling her, two. Or 17. She's got a choice.
I'm just checking to see if something happened on set. That's all.
Oh, my God. Are you having a baby? It's so weird. If you're going to announce it here.
This is the place to do it, I guess.
Fur. What's that?
I have a question for you.
Okay, good.
So you're talking about Robin Williams before, and you say you're not as funny as him, but when he was here with us, he said that he wanted to work with you, actually. That he saw you work with
one. He did. We did a movie together. He forgets so quickly. My God.
And then Ken Coppice sort of said he'd give him hints of Gary Cooper and Jimmy Stewart. So how do you stay grounded with all of this?
The hardest thing. Oh, sorry. How do you stay grounded? Haven't heard the Gary Cooper thing, so I'm not grounded now. I feel pretty good. No, that's incredibly nice. When I met Robin at the read-through, I remember when he came in, I was so nervous. I mean, meeting him for the first time is sort of incredible because I did actually write him a letter when I was a kid and told him he was my favorite actor. It was the first time I'd ever cried in a movie. It was at Dead Poets Society, and I had my fingers like this, like windshield wipers, and I was like, what is going on? So he wrote back, and he was it for me. So getting to meet him and hearing that he liked my work is totally unbelievable. Again, that's just something that I can't compute. It's like you can't take a compliment like that because it just doesn't make any sense. And as far as Ken Kwapa saying all those things, I think he just really wanted me in the movie. So he probably told Warner Brothers, like, don't worry, Jimmy Stewart, Gary Cooper, who else do you like? Like, if they had said they were huge, like, Chris Farley fans, he's like, he can do that too. He's a huge physical comedian. But no, that's really nice to hear.
But how do you stay grounded?
How do I stay grounded? I've got a great family. I think that I attribute a lot of it to that. I mean, really what makes this fun, because it's always surreal and exciting, but what makes it really fun is having really special people to share it with, and my family's the best. So to call and say, you know, I'm in a movie with Robin Williams, and they're like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, okay, good, as long as you think that too. Because I think as soon as you say I deserve this, it's over. So.
But aren't they all the East Coast and you're out here?
They are all East Coast. Another reason why I stay grounded, because when you're from the East Coast, they tend to keep you grounded. Boston's one of those places, as I'm sure you know.
I wanted to ask both of you about upcoming projects. In particular, I'm interested in hearing about Big Good News with Theus Mann.
All right.
Are you like a huge David Foster Wallace fan?
I am, in that everything he writes is pretty much the best stuff I've read, so that makes me a fan, I guess. I don't understand all of it. I try. I got through Infinite Jest with 3 bottles of Advil, but I was extremely lucky to get this project. It was one of those things that I worked on in college. A friend of mine asked me to do a stage reading of that book, and I was just completely blown away. Because at that point, I was like, acting's having fun with your friends and making people laugh. Not the case. And then, you know, you do something that you actually feel important. And that's a big moment. Like, it's a big thing to feel like you're doing something that's actually affecting people. And so I fell in love with the book, and I've always wanted to do something with it. And then fought to get the rights, which was pretty fun and sort of an incredible experience in itself. And then writing and directing, it just sort of fell into my lap. I think we were looking to collaborate with someone on both those fronts, and ended up just being me. So at this point, it's the epitome of a passion project. And at this point, I just hope people like it. And you being a fan terrifies me, because I'm sure you know the work so well that I hope I did a good enough job.
When's it coming out?
Oh, you know it well. You're an expert. I can tell. It's coming out. I think I'll finish editing this summer. So that has to happen first, they tell me. And then, I don't know, maybe some festivals.
Sundance?
Sure, that would be great. Are you saying that I'm in? Oh, my God. This is huge.
Are you still filming Leatherheads?
Both of them I am. They're both exciting projects. No, I'm kidding. Leatherheads, no, we just finished like 3 weeks ago. And that was okay. One of these days I'll work with a good director. It was incredible. You can make jokes, but he's everything that anyone's ever said about him. And to be that big of a star and that grounded and that classy, and I mean, really, he was a true mentor for me. And as a director, he's incredible. I mean, he knows exactly what he wants, and so he knows that you've done a good job before you do. So after 3 takes, he's like, "We got it." And I'm still thinking, I was just getting used to this. I shouldn't have done it in a Russian accent. And no, he's great. He's a good guy.
And Mandy, for your future.
Sorry. Can you talk to us about how?
Oh no, I have a record coming out on Tuesday.
No big deal.
No big deal.
In the business, we say it's dropping on Tuesday.
I love that.
Wrote more of this than you have.
Yeah, co-wrote the whole record. It's just sort of what my life has been for the last 2.5 years, and I was adamant about writing and being a part of the creative process, and I kind of stood my ground, and I left 2 record labels to make this record exactly what I wanted it to be, and working with the caliber of people that I got to, I mean, I'm a huge sort of singer-songwriter fan and a fan of like independent music, and I got to collaborate with a lot of my favorite artists and fantastic producer, and so it's something like personally that I'm just really excited for and feel invested in, and I'm excited that people finally get to hear it.
And it's called Wild Hope?
It's called Wild Hope.
And my blog had the exclusive. I gave it a raving review. So.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about how the chemistry worked
between
you and did you have any embarrassing moments in the shooting?
I think I had, it wasn't my first kiss, but like when you had to kiss someone and like, I think doing a movie about getting married is sort of, for me, I was extremely nervous because, I mean, you need a partner that's like, really willing to go there and be silly, and it was also fun though because I think we were really getting to know each other as our characters were really getting to know each other. You know, I think that was the whole premise of the movie, is that you never really know someone until, you know, things go badly for you. So it was fun to get to know Mandy while we were like kind of getting to know each other in all these tests. And I can say that like working with someone that has so much more experience than you do, and yet is still like extremely invigorated and youthful and fun, and just, I mean, I just took her lead as far as like what I needed to do on set, and just tried to make it okay, and I tried to not make look terrible.
I think when you get along with someone, it's just natural and it comes across on screen, and it's easy to have good chemistry when, I don't know, when you appreciate each other and respect each other.
It would have been bad to hate each other, put it that way. Yeah. That would have been upsetting.
Yeah.
I have a question for both of you, then I have a question just for John. I want to know, what was your favorite scene to shoot? Like, which one did you have the most fun shooting?
Oh, I'm terrible at these questions.
I don't know about my favorite scene, but our first scene that we shot was us breaking up, which was her leaving the church, which I thought was pretty insane. And so, like, from an acting perspective and from the movie perspective, that was really exciting to like shoot this scene where all this stuff had supposedly happened. It really
before you've established anything.
Yeah. Hi, Mandy. I'm John, and you're about to break up with me. That's basically how it happened. Yeah, exactly. So that was really exciting and sort of a fun way to go about it.
I liked all the stuff in Jamaica. It was fun to travel. And
spoiled.
It was fun. I mean, this experience making this movie was just such a blast, and it was like a little family, like a summer camp experience. So being able to go away was definitely exciting too, I think.
Now, The Office has a really big following, and I wanted to know what your view was, John, on the fan base of the relationship between Pam and Jim. You have such a big following on the internet.
You can say Jam if you want.
Jam. Don't say
you
know. Yeah. You know what's going on.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
How do you feel about that? I mean, the fan base is so huge. If you go on message boards, you go on like LiveJournal.com, they have communities of Jam. And
it's incredible.
Fan videos and everything.
It's slightly overwhelming because you don't think that anything you do, you know, having anybody enjoy what you do is such a treat. And so I think that, you know, I know I've said this 100 times, but we owe it all to our writers. We have the best writers in the business. And I love that people are watching just because it's fun to have people watching. But our fans are so dedicated and so smart and so cool for the most part. And like, you know, we don't have these fans who sort of overwhelm you. If they see you in the street, they're like, love the show, or what an idiot, you should have said something to her last week. And I'm like, I know. But, you know, keeping it real is the key, and I don't know how they've done that. Week after week, kept a relationship. I think the key is that everybody can sort of empathize with it. I mean, I think it's sort of a, you know, that long-lost love, and we can all empathize. And yeah, I mean, my favorite scene in the show is on the booze cruise when I finally get the moment to talk to her and tell her. And I react exactly how I would react by saying nothing. I would have nothing to say in that situation. So, like these strings and violins coming in and having some amazing speech, it didn't happen for me. But
have you gotten any reactions regarding the season finale?
They've all been great, which is really awesome because we were nervous about it because last year was a pretty huge moment and really fun to shoot. And then this year was it was very circumstantial. So, like, if you were a fan of the show, I think this finale would make more sense to you and you'd love it more because you know that like that moment's been coming for a while. So the sort of anti-ending was really brave to do for the writers, not for us. It was pretty easy to get the script and just do it. But yeah, it was really, really nice. We're extremely lucky.
John? Hometown questions?
All right.
Newton North or Newton South?
Newton South.
Okay, were you doing any kind of acting there at all?
The first acting thing I ever did was my senior year. I decided not to play a sport in the spring. And in that spring, BJ Novak, who went to school with me, asked if I'd be in this show that was a parody of all the teachers in the school.
Sure.
And that was the first acting thing I did. He offered me the lead, which I'm pretty sure he was insane for doing. And we knew each other, but we didn't know each other well enough for him to cast me in anything. He was like, you know, I just think you're right for this role. I was like, what do you mean? What does that mean? So that was my introduction to acting. And other than doing Daddy Warbucks in sixth grade, which was smashing.
Did it come easy though, that time?
Yeah, because it was so much fun. And I think that's the same principle as it is working on The Office or working on this movie. It's like, you know, when you've got a good script and you've got something that's fun to do and a premise that everybody, you know, can be a part of and get into, it's so easy. Because if you're having fun, it really shows. I mean, that really is the key, and I had a blast on this.
Mandy, we've asked John what keeps him grounded. I'm curious to know what keeps you grounded. It seems like not a day goes by that we don't hear about these young celebrities getting into all sorts of various troubles. How do you manage to avoid that happening?
I think I have a similar answer to John. Like, it's a testament to my family, the way that I was raised. And not like to pat myself on the back or anything, but I feel like innately it's just who I am. I don't really like subscribe to the crazy party lifestyle. It's just not who I am. I'm a little boring and lazy, and I know I take my job seriously, and at the end of the day I want to go home and live a simple, quiet life, I guess.
Was it hard coming to?
No, because it's just my choice. It's what I'm choosing to do.
But looking back, you know, when you're 15 or 16 or 17, it's a whole different thing than being a college graduate and out the world and facing the craziness of show business. But to do it when you're a teenager like that, don't you think in a way what you managed was kind of remarkable?
No, not really. I don't feel like I'm an anomaly. I feel just like any other regular person who's had a fantastic opportunity to do all of this.
I think we all feel like you're an anomaly.
Yeah, thanks.
I was shocked. I mean, I don't know.
That, like, all of these questions, like, it's yeah. Sort of the most asked question right now. And I'm like, I don't, why do I feel weird about just living my life in a very, very normal
Think about how I feel being a young girl in Hollywood. Everybody's like, what's it like? I'm like, wow, that is a really huge question. Oh, no.
I just want to say, I picked that dress. It's going well, John. Poochie. I'm glad you pronounced that right. You know, if you say it wrong, you get a room full of pissed off women. And we have a segue. We talked, right?
Yeah, we did.
And I say that in a way that I can, as a designer and as someone who appreciates you. And don't you go to rehab, because I don't want to be there. I don't want to see you coming out the revolving door saying, I'm having a birthday party sponsored by Stolichnaya. If you go to jail, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna be your pen pal. I was gonna say be a bitch, but that's great. You have that job.
That's true.
All right, we've only got time for a couple more questions.
Where you're talking to your friend for romantic advice, who do you go to for romantic advice?
Wow. I probably go to, like, my best girlfriends. Sure.
I go right to The View. I tune in every morning. And they usually, they got it right, normally.
Do they come to you as well?
Does
yeah.
The View come to you? Do they? That's insane.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a reciprocal relationship. Sure.
With John, The View as well.
Hey, you said you guys got to know each other, so you're making this. I just wonder, what were your expectations before about what Mandy would be like as opposed to when you met her?
I was completely. I do think that she's an anomaly. I think that I was so impressed at the way she carried herself. I just think that. And not in a bad way, but I think I was expecting something totally different. I don't know what I was expecting, but I think that when you hear on paper the stats are that she's been doing this for so long and been successful for so long and sort of beloved by everybody for so long, you sort of expect that to go to someone's head. I know it will mine as soon as I get reviews like that. But no, so the fact that she was so grounded and so intelligent and, you know, you wouldn't know that she's missed anything throughout her life. And I'm sure she's missed so many big moments and sacrificed for her career, and you wouldn't know it for a moment because she was just extremely fun to have around, and I loved it. It was great.
Is that true, Mandy? Have you sacrificed things for your career?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I didn't have the, like, normal average high school experience and the social aspect of high school or going to college, but I don't feel bad because of it. I mean, I know I've missed out on stuff, but it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I just know the life that I've led, and I kind of believe, like, everything for a reason, and this is just, I guess, the path I was supposed to take.
We're going to do spring weekend in Jamaica this year.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Spring break.
Let's catch you up.
Actually, Mandy, just so I can say, you didn't miss anything in high school.
Thanks.
Totally agree.
Quick question about The Office. Have you had a chance to check in with Jenna after her?
I have, yeah. I was shooting the movie when it happened, so I was unfortunately busy, but we talked a little bit. But then when I got to New York, as soon as it wrapped, I went and visited her at the hotel. And it's kind of crazy how well she's doing for what happened. I mean, I actually, when I was sitting talking to her, I forgot that she broke her back. I mean, you hear those words and you're like, oh man, she won't walk for years. And here she is, like, up and walking around with a huge smile on her face. So I definitely wouldn't take it as well.
It really is taking on a lot of sort of the cultural baggage that we have about marriage and whether or not, I mean, especially right now in this culture, it seems that defining marriage and who can get married and who's allowed to be sanctioned by the state as a couple. As members of the next generation, the people that are going to be sort of taking over the cultural markers, what are your feelings about the institution of marriage?
And the serious question right at the end.
Such a good question.
Like, nothing fluffy? I like the fluffy question.
Yeah.
What do I believe? I mean, I think I'm still sort of figuring out what my definition of marriage really is. I mean, I'm 23 years old, and like I said earlier, it's really not something that's at the forefront of my mind right now. So I don't know. I don't know how to properly answer that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm 27. And what are you, 23?
Yeah.
What are you, 19?
Thanks. Good.
So I think that this is a time when I'm still figuring out how to do all this myself. And so, I don't know, I'd say that, you know, like we were getting to about communication and things like that, especially with all these debates of who can get married and why, and it's just so funny to me because at the end of the day, marriage should be, it shouldn't be the next logical step, it shouldn't be something that everybody has to do, it should be something that's really romantic and something that just comes out of being happy with someone, so I feel like anybody can do that. And so, I don't know, as the next generation, I'd say, like, it'd be great if we could all find someone that actually made us happy, and then if marriage is the next step, that would be.
And is it a tour with this album?
Yes, I am.
A full tour.
I'm going on tour at the end of the summer.
You like writing love songs?
All right, everybody
is a prenup important for marriage?
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Where did it go?
I don't know. I took it. I might have taken it.
I was actually being dead serious about Dunkin' Donuts.
Dude, I am too.
So do you get
literally
back?
He just sort of vaporized. I don't know what he's doing.
Do you get back to Boston very much then?
Yeah. Every now and again. Like, wow. For the holidays, and about five or six times a year. But you're not going out there.